I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 83 of Better Podcasting. Sustainability is the word of the day, and we want to help you last longer behind the microphone.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, how about we talk some Canadian podcast statistics, eh?
Finally, we discuss what you had to say this week.
Let's kick off episode 83 of Better Podcasting, now with a moose.
Take it away, Lauren.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome back to Better Podcasting. I am the Canadian Stephen John Drew, and with me is my American cohort, Stargate Pioneer.
It is America, sir. It's America. And yes, we are excited to be here for another great episode of Better Podcasting, or BP, as Stephen and I call it. It's the BP.
I just realized something. Let's take a moment here to talk about the fact that we can say that we are an international podcast about podcasting. That's what they are. We are not just from one country. We are representing internationally.
Absolutely international podcasting. When you go across the borders, you gain that distinction of international. Of course, we're not intercontinental.
Maybe one day we'll figure that out. We'll bring a third person in for an episode so we can claim it too. But we are here today back with another edition of Better Podcasting. And as a friendly reminder, we have had a couple of crazy awesome episodes, including the last one, which had a bunch of your feedback. Isn't that right, SP?
Episode 82 was a fantastic show. I've listened to it a few times. You guys were you just were on it. You were great. And thank you very much to everybody that contributed to it. And if you had something to say about what you wanted to know before your podcast and what you learned about it, you can get it to us at contact@betterpodcasting.com. We'd love to play it on the show.
Yeah, and also we had a couple of crazy other episodes before that, one of which had a download that had an accompanying article about Google indexing your RSS feed. You should check that out if you want to see all the crazy details. We've had some people talk about the episode, some people find the article, and if you haven't checked out the article, you should. It's www.geeks.link/Google RSS. Cool, lots of screenshots in there, more details than we went to in the episode if that's up your alley. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what also might be up your alley? Free stuff, which is why we're giving away the brand new Audio-Technica ATR-2100. And by brand new, we don't mean that this is a newly released product. This means that we are giving away a unopened, brand new Audio-Technica ATR-2100. You can enter this through a variety of ways, but primarily send us an email to contest@betterpodcasting.com. And we want to know, why did you, or why are you going to start a podcast? And let us know before July 27th, 2017. That's when the contest will close. We want you to tell us all about that. Now, SP, I have a question for you. I have been a loyal listener of Better Podcasting, primarily because I edit the podcast.
You're kind of forced into it.
I am. So I remember back when your co-host did a mic shootout. And during this mic shootout, your co-host, which, by the way, your co-host, he's incredibly good looking. He mentioned that there was a bit of a popping problem with the ATR 2100.
There is indeed, and that is why with the ATR 2100, we are giving away a windscreen, which goes over it, just a foam windscreen. It really helps on that pop filter, or that pop, the plosives for the ATR 2100. Still a great microphone, but we want to set you up for success. So just tell us, why did you, or why would you want to start a podcast that is by July 27th, 2017, as Steven said, and get it to us at contest@betterpodcasting.com. Also, I am in the market for a new co-host for Better Podcasting. So if you want to apply for that, you can also email us at contest@betterpodcasting.com.
I don't blame you, because again, I talked about how good looking your co-host is. If I were you, I would try to find somebody that is even better looking, because then you can look even more hideous in comparison.
At this time, I am just allowing you to get away with this stuff because you're going to be gone soon and I'm going to bring in somebody else. And, you know, you can think whatever you want to, but we all know that the SP is the best looking host on the GunnaGeek.com network, which includes Better Podcasting.
I won't argue because I don't want to argue. But we also had one other question for you, which was, how have you saved your podcast? This is something that we like to do quite regularly here on Better Podcasting. We want you to share with the group. It's a safe circle. You can come in and tell how you messed up and how you fixed it. And we want to know, how did you save your podcast? We've had a bunch of different great examples, some that we've shared, some the listeners have shared over the, I'd say it's about a year we've been soliciting this. And so we want you to share your story. And we actually have a brand new edition of this from a fellow who's fairly new to podcasting. He just wetting his feet a little bit. Let's turn it over to Stargate Pioneer.
I thought you were going to say he was wetting his pants.
That could be too.
So a couple of weeks ago, I was recording Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it is an audio show with a video companion, and OBS Studio did some sort of an update. I wasn't sure if it was from my computer, like maybe I reinstalled it and didn't realize it, which can happen from time to time. When you do the updates, it's a manual update with OBS Studio, by the way, or if it was forced, but either way, the settings got screwed up in the audio. So when I was recording, I didn't really notice that I was only recording the incoming track for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 175 and not my track. So all I got was the other end of the conversation. And when I went to go preview it before I posted it, I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm not talking at all. Was something wrong with my microphone? So I quickly went over into my local H6 track that I had, and it was there, but it wasn't in the video. So I had to go in, manually insert myself into the video, and then re-render the video and get it out of the way. Well, that wasn't it, folks, because on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 176, I was so busy that I never fixed it and I never remembered it. So the same thing happened 2 weeks in a row. And then I had to go back and I had to fix it and re-render it and reprocess the audio and everything. And then after the second time, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Well, yes, shame on me. And I fixed the problem in OBS before I went any further. I'm like, this is not going to happen again. So I fixed it and it is all good ever since. But that is how I saved my podcast. It was the video companion, but I had the actual audio that was from my H6 recorder. By the way, we also live streamed to YouTube. So YouTube had captured the audio and video as well. But I prefer to use the templated version on OBS Studio that I'm capturing as we're recording. So that is how I saved my podcast.
So are you recording right now? Just to double check. I should double check that.
The clock is red and running, sir.
Oh, that's a good story. And yeah, I've done that sort of stuff too. I streamed out something once, which was like halfway through. Someone's like, hey, you know, we can't hear you, right, Steven? And I'm like, oh, well, it's probably better that way. Well, thanks for sharing that story. And again, if you want to send us a clip or a video or whatever, podcast@betterpodcasting.com. You can email us there. That's fine. You can tweet us at BetterPod or find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. We just want to hear, how did you save your podcast? But let's go ahead and move in to our main segment. Here we go. sustainability. Say what?
Yeah, sustainability. You want to be able to continue your show for the long term. Now, if you're just doing a fast run show, like 6 episodes, 12 episodes, and that's it, you don't need to sustain it. You just need to get those episodes out. And that's it. It's done. Show's over. You can move on with life. But if you're like us and you're like hobby podcasters and you want to sustain your show for the life of a TV show, for the life of an IP, say like Star Wars or Star Trek or Doctor Who, you're going to be on the air for a while. So you might as well buck up and learn how to make your show last a long time.
Do you really? Because my understanding is that when you start a podcast, all you're doing is trying to get rich, and that's all you want is the sweet, sweet money, and that's all that the purpose of podcasting is. So why be sustainable if you're just going to be instantly rich, SP?
Because you want to have fun. That's why we're hobby podcasters. We podcast for fun. And if you're podcasting for money, you want to keep podcasting for money so you can make money. But we're talking about having fun and just being able to learn how to do it and garner a community and an audience. And in order to do that, you got to stay on the air. So you have to avoid the burnout. And we've seen a lot of friends and a lot of other podcasters out there that have pod faded. And generally, it's because their show really hasn't been sustainable. They might have overestimated the amount of work that goes into it. They might have just not have the ability to continue. Like, it's not in their mindset. So that is why we started Better Podcasting, to say, look, if you want your show to last, you need to do these things. So we're going to talk specifically about sustainability this week. And the number one thing to avoid burnout and to keep on going with your podcast is kiss. I want to kiss you, Steven.
Okay, which is a reminder, SP is looking for a new co-host. You can email StargatePioneer@betterpodcasting.com.
What I'm talking about with KISS is keep it simple, stupid. And that is how you're just going to be able to keep this going. You can't keep something that's just so complex that you have to jump through 25 different hoops every week. I don't even do that. And I have a checklist just to make sure I don't forget everything. And especially when you're starting out, you got to keep it simple, like two microphones or one microphone, like an ATR2100 that's USB into your laptop. That's fine to start out with. That's what you really should do. Don't bother getting the $2,000 setup with the digital preamps and processors and the mixer and the digital recorder and the broadcast microphone. You don't even know if you're going to last 6-9 months. So just make it sustainable, make it affordable, and keep it simple. The other thing that I have to start out with, and I've talked about this before, it's one of my golden rules of hobby podcasting, is make sure your RSS feed is stable. Because if it's not stable, your podcast is not going anywhere, and you're going to have to take time out from your routine production to go in and fix it and get it going again and deal with Podcast Connect or deal with a 301 redirect. And that all takes time away from creating content. So you don't want to hop around from service to service. That might actually lose you listeners along the way. And you want to minimize the time you're devoting to messing around with it. On all my podcasts, by the way, I have set my RSS feed with Libsyn to start out with, and I've forgotten about it. Didn't have to worry about it. If you're one that you want to start podcasting with your website and you create your RSS feed with something like PowerPress, go ahead, do that, and just don't mess with it ever again, unless you really have to, because messing with your RSS feed is just going to be a pain that you don't have to deal with.
Oh, it frustrates me when I see people all the time go, yeah, no, I know that there's been some questions about SoundCloud, but I'm okay. I'll make the shift in a few months. I'm just trying to get started. And it's like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but you're going to not like that a little bit later that you have to spend all that time. So yeah, absolutely. Try to pick something early on. The other thing that you want to keep in mind, kind of keeping in line with the whole KISS thing, and we're not talking Gene Simmons, of course, is minimizing website complexity. Now, why do we say that? Because as a hobby podcaster, yes, you are going to want to have a website so that people can land on it and they can go through all these things, but you're also not probably in the money making business. So you don't need to spend all this money and this time on a very complex website unless you're offering extra content in there. And really, if you look at some of the solutions that are available, there are simple WordPress hosting sites. There are websites that are even accompanying certain media hosts. These are things that you might want to consider going, because again, if you keep it simple and you go with a simple website, you're less likely to get burned out because you're having to maintain that website as well. If you set up a very complicated website, what happens if all of a sudden there is major spam that comes there? Now you got to go moderate that. Or what happens if it gets hacked? Now you got to spend time on that. So minimizing website complexity can go a very long way for a hobby podcaster.
Another thing that can go along the way is make a plan for time and maybe even an annual plan. You know, last week we talked at the end of the show about how we're switching around recording times in the middle of the summer, towards the end of June, beginning of July. And this is because our regular time slot on Friday nights has honestly been a nightmare. It's both of us are rushing home from work. We are quickly, I come in from the gym, so I have to take a shower before we go on, and it's earlier in the night so we can have the rest of the night and the weekend to ourselves. It really wasn't sustainable for us, but it was what we had to do because all the other nights that were available for us to record were taken up by, well, quite frankly, my other podcast. So I was the limiting factor there. Well, guess what? ABC and CW took care of that, and they completely jostled their schedules, which jostled my schedules for two of my podcasts, and it made Wednesday night available to us. So that is more sustainable for Steven and I for better podcasting, and that is what we intend on moving to definitely by July. Another thing is to stay on budget. Don't rack up your credit cards with podcast gear. First of all, odds are you're not going to know how to work everything off the top of your head unless you work in an audio studio to begin with. And second of all, there's just no need because you're learning everything else with podcasting. Just start with the simple ATR 2100 microphone or the Audio Technica AT2005 or the Knox podcast microphone. It's USB connection and boom, there you go. If you need a simple mixer or audio interface because you have multiple hosts in the same room, we can help you with that. And if you want to add a soundboard, we can help you with that as well. Now, we talked about the staying in budget and better podcasting episode 21, so we're not going to rehash all that stuff, but we just want to reiterate it is important to stay within budget.
Yeah, and the other thing that we want to remind you is to not burn out. Now, what we mean by that is, as a hobby podcaster, you might want to take a break occasionally, and I would quote an episode like the Elegant Stargate Pioneer just did, but we've talked about it a lot, and we think that this is a very important thing for you to make that distinction that you're a hobby podcaster and that you need a break from your hobby. At the end of the day, you're not sitting there realizing that all this time is yielding money like so many other podcasters who are in the business of podcasting have. I go, okay, well, I know I'm staying up late so I can get this posted at exactly 9 o'clock on Saturday or whatever. And they're like, well, it's my business, but that's different. For you, it's a hobby. So you want to make sure that you're not burning out, and you really need to make sure that you recognize that as well. One of the other ways that you're going to prevent yourself from burning out is by podcasting on a topic that you find enjoyable, that you're passionate about. If you are doing a podcast and you don't occasionally hear yourself getting excited on your podcast, you're not doing the right podcast for you. There should at least be, a lot of people are more subdued than me. I've been told I'm energetic. That's fine. But you should at least once an episode hear yourself be passionate. If you don't hear yourself being passionate when you edit at least once in your episode, move on.
Or choose a different topic to podcast on within your podcast. Definitely. Hey, and if you're podcasting as a buddy, like your buddy said, hey, man, it'd be really great to have a podcast. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm not really excited about this topic. Eventually, that lack of passion will surface through the cracks and you might be down a host. They might prioritize other things. They might not have time to show up for your recording time. They might not have time to even be on camera if you have a video podcast because they're really just not excited about being there tonight. Or they might develop an adversarial relationship back and forth. And unless you have passion for your topic and the same passion as your co-host, if you happen to have one, then it's just a recipe for disaster eventually. I don't know how long that's going to take. Could be 20 episodes, could be 50 episodes, could be 100, could be 200. I don't know. Eventually, it's going to make something break on your show. And if you want your show to be sustainable for whatever amount of episodes you want, if you just want to go forever, well, that's one thing. If you want to hit that mile marker of 500 podcasts, there's a long time to get there. That's like 10 years. So 10 years, Stephen, are we going to be together? We're almost at the 2-year mark. So 8 years from now, are we still going to be doing this?
I don't know, because I am a time traveler. So I might just leave tomorrow and then you never might not see me for another 20 years, but I'll be the same age.
Is your igloo a TARDIS? Is that what you're saying?
It is. And I want to actually take a moment to share a story on here that I haven't actually shared on here. Back when I did the comic book podcast, we got to the point that it actually, we all essentially lost passion for it. We were still high energy. We did a good job of performing, so to speak. But what we found was it just became too much work for us. And we just had this moment where we all realized that there was other things that we are more passionate about. And so one day after recording, we had an open conversation about it. And we realized that we just didn't have the same passion that we had 169 episodes previous. So we decided to call it. It was we considered it a little bit, but it was just this moment of like, okay, let's do one more episode and let's get it out there for the fans. And then we're going to call it, because we weren't passionate about it. And I think that was a hard conversation for us to have, but it was the right conversation for us to have.
I listened to a podcast lately and I want to say it was like Mick and Rory or something like that. And they had done several episodes over the course of maybe 3 years, like 80 episodes. And they just needed to call it quits. And they did, because it wasn't sustainable for them anymore. And they were excited about different projects. They admitted that in their last episode. They actually had a last episode of the podcast. And then they had an episode of the podcast that said everything. It was the truth about podcasting, at least according to them. And it was very interesting. But one of the things that they said was that we have just lost the passion for this and we need to move on to other projects that we are. So if you don't have passion, that will end your podcast.
And the other thing as well that I want to say about that is many of us are still podcasting. So it's like, yeah, I'm still going here. But if we had kept going down that route, who knows, maybe we would have just burned out a podcasting altogether. So that's how we were able to keep the podcasting itself sustainable. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about briefly here is making sure to break the rut. Right, SB?
Similarly to losing the passion for a subject is getting in a rut, doing the same thing over and over every week, just rinse, wash, and repeat, and it just becomes a rut. So you can vary your podcast, make it more sustainable. You can do different segments. You can talk about different topics. If you have a routine structure, if there's an element that you can add that is more dynamic than the others, which is different every week, you can throw that in. For example, on the official GunnaGeek.com show, it's a new show, tech geeky sort of stuff. I do a space segment usually at the beginning for my news segment. Steven does something about mobile tech or computing or podcasting
moose.
Or whatever.
Moose is totally possible too.
Yeah, mechanical moose that comes up every once in a while. But we also have another segment that we do at the end of the show that is dedicated to one of the individuals on the show. And it's different each week. Last week we did Geekworks. I have been going through space telescopes and I'm almost at the end of that actually, but then I'll be going into space probes and it's just going to be different every week. And I try to make it as fun as I can make it. I know other people try to make it as fun as they can, or just something interesting that's going on in their geeky lives. It just makes for a different, interesting show each week.
Now, what I really like about that with the GunnaGeek.com show is it not only adds a dynamic element for the listener and the viewer, what it does as well is it allows a little bit of breathing room for the host. So when it's not my week, this guarantees me that I've got like 10 to 15 minutes that someone else is taking the ball. That's awesome. That gives me a little bit of a break each week, you know, every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks. Okay, now I'm responsible and it gives the other hosts a break. So it's a really great way that we all can relax to a degree at a dedicated time while the listener is still engaged. So I like it. I think that is a great example of it. And I'm glad you brought that up, SB.
Thank you. Now, getting away from the actual content creation, you have the content production, and that can be very laboratorious. You're a hobby podcaster, because that's generally who listens to the show. It is just you. You do not have a production team behind you. If you're lucky enough, you might have a friend who's just sitting in there and running the soundboard. We actually have a podcast like that on the network, PopXcast. They actually have a producer behind the scenes, but it isn't the case with all hobby podcasts. So we've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I know Steven wants to say it as well. Ask for help. Don't think you have to do it alone. Even if you are just slowly teaching somebody else to do what you do, it'll help one day. I'll give you an example that kind of backfired on me, but at the beginning of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I taught Haley how to edit, at least the editing that I liked on the show. And guess what? She took that, she ran with it, and she created like two shows of her own. So she got internally busy and all the editing came back on me, but we gained a couple of new shows on the network. So that was good. So, for example, Steven,
there's another one. Yeah, there's another one that will actually just drop the curtain on this show right now. And it's, as you may not be familiar with this, as far as the editing process goes and the recording process, it's me. Okay, like I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but it is. I'm the one that does has the video rig. I'm the one that does the editing and whatnot, because SP, as we all know, he does 27 casts, so he doesn't have time to do 28. So that's me. Now, here's the thing. If you asked 2 years ago Stargate Pioneer to do the video elements of this show, which, again, if you go to youtube.com/getting geek, you'll see a full produced video show, split screens, single screens, things like that. SP would have turned around and he would have said, bye. Wouldn't it happen? In a couple of weeks, tease, tease, that might not be the case, because I have slowly shared with him the wonderful ways of video.
That's right. I'm really excited to do that. I've been actually technically capable of doing it for a while. The problem that I'm having is bandwidth limitation, which is why Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune aren't done the same way. And so whenever I do a production like this, I won't be able to stream it live anywhere. So that's really a limitation there. And because of that, I'm rusty on everything, because I don't do it every week, like twice a week, like Steven does. So there is that. But yeah, we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks. And the switching of the cameras, the shots, it'll definitely be a different production. And as Mike Howard said in the chat, JPEG to RAW, no one can do it as good as I can. You will find that over and over. That is true. But sometimes you just got to let it go and let somebody else onto it. And
ask for help. Ask for help. There you go. Now I said it.
I know of various different shows that have asked for help recently and gotten professional editing help, but they're making money with their shows, so they're able to do that. If you're part of a network, I guarantee you there'll be other people that will be more than willing to help you. They might not actually have the time to do it for you, but they will help you figure it out.
You know, one way that you can, on a regular basis, ask for help is by splitting different other duties as well. SP talked about sharing the editing. You know, that's a great example of it. He did teach Haley how to edit, but you can also alternate. If you want, you could have one person do one show, you do another. You could have somebody do the prep work of files while you do the actual cutting. There's 100 different ways that you can split editing duties. The same thing goes with the posting, the publishing, the promotion. Split those duties. Why put it all on yourself? Because again, you're going to burn out and it won't be sustainable unless, of course, you're SP and you do 300 shows.
The only way it's sustainable is I got a team of people behind me. Even with better podcasting, Steven oftentimes splits the promotion and posting duties with me because he just runs out of time. And we want to make sure that you, listener, you, viewer, get the podcast when you can. So I do step in and do that when I'm needed. I will give you an example of a podcast that rotated, at least until recently, editing duties, Crimson Comet, again, on the network. It's a podcast about the CW show Flash. It's with Haley, Lobster, and Will. Until recently, they rotated the editing duties between all three of them. Now, that has changed. It's just one of them now. But that was the way that they were able to keep that show going as well. Now, if you run into a situation where you have an emergency and there's just no way that you can get your podcast out, but you want to make sure that your audience gets content, one of the great ways to be able to do that is create an evergreen show in the can. Now, this could be a best of episode. It could just be an evergreen content that you have on the rack just in case something happens. And in an emergency, it's right there. You might even have it loaded up. Like if you have a Libsyn or Podbean account, just not published. It's in the system, but it's not published. And if an emergency situation, you can just hit publish. In the show notes, it said, I'm sorry, I won't be able to give you a regular episode this week, but this will do instead. I've been waiting a long time to get this out to you. You can play it whatever way you want if you have time to edit the post. But if you don't have time to edit the post, I encourage you to have a, hey, something came up this week and I have this in the can for you. It's a great episode. Go ahead and listen to it, that sort of thing. So that is a way to make your show sustainable, that if you don't miss a week and your audience is still there in 2 weeks, it's not such a burden to go over the hill again and create your show for again, because there's always that hurdle. If you stop for a week, it makes it starting up the next week that much harder.
Yeah. And speaking of emergencies, we've talked before about not going too crazy with gear. We've talked about other things to do with gear, and you don't have to buy a lot of gear. Well, one of the reasons why we talk about that, even though we have a lot of gear, is we think that you should make sure that you are only buying and budgeting for gear that you can afford to have break down. So you don't want to go spend your entire bank, and if it dies in a year, you're SOL. You want to have options. And so that's something that you need to understand, that gear is susceptible to fracture and break. And so that's something that if you can't afford to replace said gear, what are you going to do? Now, as always, we will remind you that if something does go wrong, all you need is an Audio-Technica ATR-2100, an AT-2005, or a Nox podcaster mic, and you can get yourself back up and going. You might have some troubles with if you do some more advanced stuff, but overall, that's all you need.
That is indeed all you need, and especially with a Nox podcast microphone, if you have an Amazon account here in the United States, and no, it's not that way everywhere in the world, but you can get a replacement in 2 days. So you can be back up and running in 2 days with a microphone that's pretty quality, we think, we hope, and should last you a year or two. I had some issues with mixers, and we won't go down the path of the branding or anything, but I had the first 3 years that I podcast, I had to buy a new mixer because my first two mixers kept on tanking and I needed a new one. So I'm lucky enough that I was budgeting for it and I was able to purchase them without putting too much on the credit card.
Now, getting away from gear onto something else, you might want to consider podcasting in seasons. This is something that we don't talk a lot about because so many podcasters and so many podcasts about podcasting say, always do consistent podcasts all the time. Well, again, you're a hobby podcaster, and if you have different seasons, you can naturally work in breaks. So it could be the fact that you're doing a television show and you're tying it to seasons, but it could just be you're making seasons for your show. So you're like, season one is going to be January through March. Season two is going to be May through July, right? You could do it that way as well. So then you've given yourself a month break. As long as you keep consistent, you're going to be fine. So you can absolutely do different seasons. Take the season model that we see all the time on television and apply it to your podcast. It's okay.
Yeah, the American TV shows have this mentality nowadays of in the off season, you have a writer's room. This wasn't always the case, and it doesn't happen everywhere in the world. For instance, BBC, it doesn't necessarily happen this way, but they have a writer's room. So they sit down, they craft the new season, and then the individual writers then go off and write their individual episodes, but they know how it fits into the entirety of the season. You can do something like that really easily. We do have a podcast, by the way, on the Gonna Geek Network that does do seasons. It's Strange and Unusual, and it is an audio drama, and it just fits well with them, but you don't have to have an audio drama podcast to do this. You can podcast in seasons other ways. By the way, Apple Podcasts just announced this week at WWDC an app enhancement that will split shows into seasons easier. And we will be talking a little bit more about WWDC next week once we get to aggregate all the information. But some exciting stuff happened at WWDC.
Now, here's one way that you might want to be sustainable as well. It's making an effort to meet your audience, because this is something that if you interact with them, you're going to have engagements, and those engagements are going to keep you going. A lot of people underestimate this when they get into podcasting, is the connection aspect. And it really is important to try to make that connection with your listeners.
It's okay to place some projects on hold as well. Because if you have other things going on, maybe articles that you're writing, it's okay to say, well, I can push that off for a few months and concentrate just on the podcast. I mean, if you got to take time out of your schedule to podcast to make it more sustainable and you can't do other projects along the way, maybe YouTube tutorials or whatever, just place them on hold for a little bit until you get your feet back on your ground in terms of your schedule and you can move on for that. That is a way to make your, this is all a way to make your show more sustainable. We got a few more things to go through, including evaluating your editing flow, Stephen.
Yes, because here's something that I see so many people misstep on. They go, I need my show to be perfect. It has to be perfect all the time. And if it's not perfect, who's going to listen? Well, no, that's not true. It has to be good. That's what we need. We need to be good enough, right? That's really what it comes down to, is you want to put your best foot forward, but you also need to not burn out. So if you're spending like 10 hours an episode editing and you're a hobby podcaster, how is that really going to stack up in the long run? You're going to burn yourself out really, really quickly. So you might want to reevaluate, how can I shave off some time? Maybe you need to not be so picky. Maybe some of these ums and these ahs are okay to leave in. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Sometimes it's okay to go back in time too. Say your show has evolved and it's become more complex or more lengthy. It's okay to take a deep breath and go back to an earlier time in your podcast. Say you've gone from a bi-weekly podcast to every week. You're like, whoa, that's too much. I need to go back to bi-weekly podcasting. That is okay. Say you've increased the length of your show from 15 minutes to an hour and a half. And you're like, whoa, I can't do that. So you dial it back to a half an hour. That is all doable as well.
You know what else is doable? Embracing the automation. Don't think you have to do it all manually. There's lots of really, really good things that you can still do. For example, I'll cite Libsyn here. Libsyn has different destinations. They also have different ways that can tweet and include a automatic post when you go through. So then in there, people are going to see that automatically show up on their Twitter and they can hit play right in there. If you use that right, it's okay. Now, here's the flip side of that. Don't go too far and don't automate it so that every single time someone follows you, they send a it sends an automatic Twitter message DM over. A lot of people will see that as spam. You also don't want it to repeat repetitively and over and over and over. That's something that people will block that. So embrace the automation, but don't overuse it.
And then back up your files in case something goes wrong technologically. This is all part of sustaining your show. If your computer goes down, or if you have a power surge, or if you have some bad weather that comes in, God forbid a tornado or something that happens to hit your home, just make sure your files are backed up so you don't lose all that hard work. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of hours of work that you put into this. Make sure you back up your files eventually. Even if you're just starting out, make sure you have a backup plan for your files, whatever that is. We talked about that earlier on the show. Now, if you are part of a network that also is an ability to offload some work. Say, I use the GunnaGeek.com website for my shows, and I'm very thankful that Steven does that. So that's great. That means that the website thing that we talked about earlier, I don't have to deal with. Also, some marketing and promotion can be offloaded onto the network. Cross show promotion is great to do as well. So that just enhances your show sustainability because you're not all doing it by yourself. And the last thing that we want to mention is just to build a trusting relationship with your network, with your co-hosts, with the people you podcast with, because if something happens, and it's happened to both Steven and I recently, then they can pick up the slack and move on without you.
I want to share another story because I like to share stories. I'm in a storytelling mood, Stargate Pioneer. One time at Bandcamp. No, that's not the story today.
Did you play the flute?
Yeah. SP talked today about how the GunnaGeek.com show has a bunch of different elements and different people, and we stream it out live and whatnot. And there's a video product with it as well. One episode, we had a guest scheduled, the wonderful verified Cody Goff. And I had to drop it because my son actually had to go to the hospital. And you know what? Sorry, SP Cody Chris. I'll drop you guys every single time I got to pay attention to my son. You guys are back burner. I'll admit it. Podcasting's back burner compared to my family. So this happened with very short notice. And what did I do? I'm like, hey, guys, can't make it. And within minutes, they had it figured out. They had an alternative arrangement to make the episode happen. The three of them were coordinating, seeing, you know, if the time and the method all worked. And it's because I trusted them. I knew that I could just say, hey, guys, I'm not doing it. And they had it solved. It was awesome. It was because I trusted them.
That was definitely an interesting time. I will say Chris and I were like, yeah, do take care of your family and we're going to take care of the podcast. Don't worry. And Chris and I were both dedicated to making the podcast happen, but we could have easily just said, nope, we're not going to do it, but we were dedicated to make it happen. So we were able to make it happen. So especially with the guests that we had on, Cody Goff is another network member, by the way, but we just felt it important to actually bring him on and have the podcast. Besides, we thought it would be a distraction for Steven later on when things started easing out with the hospital stuff that he had a podcast to edit. So
so they just made me more work. But these are all things that we wanted to talk about sustaining your hobby podcast. And we think that it's something that a lot of times goes unspoken. And we wanted to talk about it from the hobbyist perspective, because, again, I think a lot of times within the podcast advice world and the different podcasts, they look at it from the business angle. And there's in my opinion, there's a bit extra push to just keep going. And I think that there's a lot of give and take when you're doing it as a hobby.
Sustainability is the key to keeping your podcast going if you want a podcast for a while. If you have any questions about how to make your podcast sustainable, go ahead and hit us up at podcast@betterpodcasting.com or go ahead and send us a voicemail through emailing it to your MP3 file to us, and we will deal with it on the next show. We just definitely want to hear from you.
And what do we have in store for next week, SP?
Next week, we have a great idea about how long should your show run?
Ooh, is it what you think it is? Or is it something else? You'll have to come back next week to find out. But let's go ahead and move into this Canadian download. Here we go.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right. We have a lot of Canadian-ish, is that a word? No, not really, to talk about this week. Start off by giving a shout out to a couple Canadians that I know listen to this show. I know, I'm sure there's more, so please write me, Steven, or actually go to podcast. That way SP gets podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Tell me that you're representing Canada, but I'll give a shout out to Neil and to Martin, because I know you both are Canadian. So there you go. There's your shout out. And yes, that's right. Canada is a country, believe it or not.
We had a debate at work today, by the way. We believed that you were still part of the United Kingdom, and we found out through Wikipedia that you are part of the Commonwealth, but you are your own independent country.
That is absolutely 100% true. So while the Queen is technically our figurehead, we are not part of the United Kingdom. But we are talking today about Canada because the Edison Research Company posted information about Canadian podcast listener statistics. That's right. All these statistics that we've talked about before are largely American-based. And as I mentioned, Canada is a country. Now, this is actually very exciting to me because the Canadian media landscape is so different from the American. There has been licensing problems, laws that dictate how much Canadian content must be on television and radio and all these things. So the Canadian media landscape is very different from the American as such, because that's the way it's evolved. It's just been different. So when you hear that there's Netflix in Canada, you don't get the same listings in Canada that you do in the US, because there's different licensing things. The same thing goes with trying to listen to radio stations. when SiriusXM said, oh, we want to start selling to Canada, the Canadian regulatory body, which is called the CRTC, said, well, you're going to have X amount of Canadian content. So it's very different. And so I was very interested to see how has podcasting really evolved within the market. And there's actually an interesting side of this is that it is pretty much in line with the way that the American is, if not maybe a little bit more podcast, as far as podcast listening goes, as far as media consumption is. Now, there is a Share of Ear is a company that really helped conduct this research. And what they did was they were commissioned to look into the market shares and whatnot. And they polled 1,022 Canadians ages 13 and up to help measure the time spent among different audio sources. They completed a 24-hour diary of their audio listening, and then it was broken out to the different chart that you can see if you go to geeks.link/Canada. I'll make it simple, geeks.link/Canada. And what we found was that in the Canadian share of ear, Canadians' share of time spent listening to audio sources, there was a whopping, wait for it, 3% of time spent on podcasts.
Well, when you consider everything else in there, and this, by the way, is a co-study with Edison Research, you looked at own music is 16%, streamed audio is 9%, TV music channels 6%. So this is all audio. AM, FM, radio 61%, which is a large portion there. And I believe that up in Canada because it is a more rural country for the most part. I mean, you do have big cities. I'm not saying that. You got Vancouver, you got Toronto, you got Montreal and Winnipeg and all the other cities out there. But Canada's a big space. It's got a lot of tundra and there's a lot of radio waves up there. So I can see 61% being radio listeners, but podcasts coming in at 3%, SiriusXM at 4%. I'm a little surprised that the SiriusXM number is low, but then again, those companies have been faltering for one company now. It used to be two separate companies. One company now was faltering for some time, but that is great among all the listeners to still have 3% listening to podcasts. That's great because all the other time they're listening to hockey games.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I misspoke there. When I said it was Canadian share of ear, I know SP clarified, but it was a co-study sort of thing, but it was mostly Edison Research, you know, the company that we've come to love. So my apologies on that misspeak there. But yeah, I think the bottom line is www.geeks.link/Canada. When you look at it in comparison to the other things, it actually shows how much of the Canadian population, according to the study, is listening to podcasts. And I think to me, the biggest eye opener on that was that there was only 4% of the was listening to SiriusXM. So it's like head to head with SiriusXM. And I know a lot of people in Canada personally that have SiriusXM. So that was pretty surprising to see to me. As well, of course, TV music channels. I don't know what they're like down in the States, but everybody, when they're just feeling lazy, just goes to their TV music channel and they just put on a random station if they don't want to bother firing up the random playlist or whatever. So it was very interesting. Apparently only those 6% of people is everybody, as I said, everybody.
TV music channels used to be bigger down here, but now because of Pandora and Spotify and other streaming audio, it is a little less so. And a lot of people get their music from YouTube as well. If they can play a YouTube playlist, there you go. You're streaming that. A lot of the audio brands, though, that Americans have are not available up in Canada. For example, Pandora isn't available, as the study points out. But 2017 will be remembered as a significant year for Canadian audio, with nationwide launches of both iHeartRadio Canada and Radio Player Canada. So there you go. There is your big in onto podcasting, basically, up in Canada for streaming, because iHeartRadio will have podcasts in it.
And with, you know, 1,022 Canadians polled, that's like all of the country.
It is about half of the respondents for a normal Edison Research study that they've done. But let's take populations into account as well. the United States has a big population and Canada's population is about 10% of that. So you got over 300 million Americans, you got like 30 million Canadians. It's just the difference between the countries.
35.85 million is what Canada's population is.
So I haven't looked recently, but the last time I looked, it was 320 million Americans, probably up towards 350 million. So 10% still probably is a relevant figure, sir.
Yeah. And just to put that in context, by the way, the California population, the population of California, 39.14 million. So there you go. There is your wonderful comparison. And yeah, we've got more land, so boom. But that is going to go ahead and wrap up the download. We want to get to what you had to say, and I hope next week I'm talking to some Canadians when we get to this segment. You know, SP, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks since we had some voicemails or audio clips in our podcast, right?
I was thinking more like 3 or 4 months. I can't remember the last time we actually had an audio or video clip on this podcast.
No. Oh, wait, it was all of last episodes, but we have another voicemail today, and let's go ahead and get to it right now.
Hey, guys, this is Jorge from Mexico, and well, I just can't find the right words to describe how much I like your show. I found it about a month ago while I was watching some videos in the podcaster channel when Andrew Scott mentioned it, so I said, well, let's check it out. And now I've already listened to every single episode from number one. So thank you very much for all the work that you're doing and keep it up. After all, you never know how many people cares about what you do.
Well, thank you very much for that. We greatly appreciate that. And I just want to say that this voicemail means a lot to me because I've actually seen you come into our chat occasionally, and sometimes you say hi, sometimes you didn't. And you've been pretty active in the last couple of weeks. But getting this voicemail, I don't know, I really appreciated it. I was listening to it on my laptop when I was upstairs, and I had the biggest smile on my face. And my wife actually said, why are you smiling? So I liked it. So thank you so much for sending that in.
Yeah, it might not be a Canadian voicemail, but it is not an American voicemail. And yes, thank you very much, Jorge. I was actually smiling when Steven shared it with me as well. And thank you very much for downloading and listening to all of our episodes. Hopefully they were helpful to you. And if you have any comments or concerns, please go ahead and hit us up at podcast@betterpodcasting.com.
And I'll just say sorry right now for wasting your time talking about Blab. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry about the whole Blab thing.
Okay. We had also a bunch of Twitter feedback this past couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and start off with Stealthy. Stealthy said, legit. Can't wait. I just ordered the ATR 2100. I have a mechanical keyboard with MX Browns. Do you think the mic will pick up the keyboard over my voice too much? Excellent question, and one that I know that Stargate Pioneer has personally got his... I can't remember the audio measuring tool. I was making a joke, and I lost the joke.
Yeah, we'll just let you flounder right there because
audio this was meter. It's called an audio meter.
Sure, we'll let you go with that. This was actually a YouTube comment from Stealthy, and it was great. So he's talking about, and I didn't know about this until his comment, but I did a little research. The mechanical keyboards are the old keyboards with the raised keys on it. So it's clickety clack, if you can remember that. Well, the actuators on them, they're mechanical actuators. They're not digital actuators, and there's these new Cherry Brown MX actuators that are supposed to be more silent. Now, I've not had a chance to use them or order them or anything, but I would say with any keyboard that is remotely stealthy, if you place it behind the microphone, if you have a dynamic cardioid microphone, the pattern of the microphone is going to be in front of the microphone. Generally, it's an Enfire microphone, so it's just going to be in front. If you place the keyboard somewhere behind the microphone, then you're going to be in the dead spot for the microphone. That doesn't mean that the sound won't travel, but it's going to minimize the sound as much as you can. And I'm still interested in these MX Cherry Brown actuators and see how less noise that they make from a normal mechanical keyboard. And this is big with podcasting. It's big with video gaming. And I know a lot of video gamings love their mechanical keyboards. So I'm going to definitely have to do some more research into that.
Yeah. And I think if you're close enough, any microphone's going to pick it up, even if it's behind it. So you just need to be aware of that. I've had people who have bought soft key keyboards and it still picked it up, because there's just a sort of natural tapping that comes no matter what, your fingers hitting the keys and whatnot. So just be aware of that. But I like SP's advice there about putting it behind. It's a good way to go.
Yeah. And also over on YouTube, we had another comment from Dan Magoo, and he was saying, from the last episode, which we had all the people respond to us in the last episode, it was great to have everybody on board. We were joking before, by the way, of not having audio or video clips because, yeah, we ran over last week with all the audio or video clips. But Dan Magoo said, shout out to the great Bandrew, bringing some class to better podcasting. Bandrew was indeed one of the people that gave us a video clip last week, and definitely we need class on better podcasting. We really do, because Canada, there's no class up there. And I'm from the Midwest, so no Emery Prost East Coast minute here.
I'm classy as, well, I'll leave that alone, but
you're classy as classy does.
So getting actually to the Twitter feedback, as I incorrectly labeled the YouTube feedback as, we had Josh Liston say, would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the rollout of the podcastforum.com. Sorry, I can't even say the proper domain. It is thepodcastforum.com. And the rollout is actually, to be honest, I'm not going to joke about this. It's been going pretty good. Obviously, it's taking time to get more interaction, but I think when we look at it as a whole, if you look, yes, there was a lot more activity initially than there is right now, but that's to be expected whenever you launch something. If you've got people mentioning it, and we did. And so then it kind of scales back, but I've been pretty happy with the way that we've been getting some interaction over there. I would really like to have more people over there, but there's been really good dialogues back and forth. And that's what I like about it, is there's multi-day dialogues on topics, which often get lost in Facebook and Google Plus. It's so easy for those to get buried. And even on Reddit, and this thus far, we've seen a lot of conversations go back and forth, even some which will go quiet for like a month and then come pick right back up. So I've been really happy with that. One of the things that I will caution people on that we ran into, of course, was Google spam filters. Ran into that where Google was blocking some activation emails. Not much we could do about that because we had a couple of reports, but then I went and I randomly pulled a bunch of new users and asked where their email ended up, and it ended up right in their inbox. So obviously something with the spam filters on Google, but I made a couple changes, hope that it fixed. If you registered and you didn't get your activation email, check your spam.
I'm really happy with the quality of interaction that we're having there. There's really in-depth product reviews that Scott Smith has been posting. There's some really thoughtful questions that are being posted, and then a lot of thoughtful answers that come from there as well. And it's always great when new people come into the forum, when they post in the new person's introductory thread on the forum, it's always great to see where they have come from. For instance, I know Jeff from the Podcast Brief, he just rebranded his podcast to the Podcast Spark. And it's been interesting watching that as well and commenting on that in the forum. So yeah, go check that out. That's at thepodcastforum.com. We'd love to, if you're not already registered, we'd love to see you there. So moving on to our next Twitter feedback, Allison Ines, she said, hey, thanks for having us on. Can really tell the difference in equipment between your shows and ours. Podcast goals, hashtag Myth Take. So yes, they do the Myth Take podcast, which is very interesting. And it is still on my Overcast to listen to. Sorry about that, Allison. It's been kind of a busy week here on the GonnaGeek.com network, but it was great having you on. And yeah, we could tell the audio difference, but it was still listenable audio. And that's the key, to have listenable audio.
Absolutely. And if you have any other questions about that, reach out, because there's some different ways that you can tweak that too. But I thought it was quite listenable. We also had AureliaPod. Say it with me. AureliaPod. By the way, that's a reference back to when we butchered the name for like three episodes without realizing it. We had At Better Pod. So what's the new schedule like for us audio listeners? New episode tonight, tomorrow, or late in the week? Well, as we teased at the end of last week's show, we are switching our recording date over to Wednesday. This is happening towards the end of June, early July. It's actually at the cusp of it, so it's going to be a sort of a weird timing, but we'll make sure to announce it the week before. And let me rephrase that. SP will make sure to announce that the week before.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shifting going on the podcast network right now, and it's not just Better Podcasting. So some other shows had to start moving before we could. In addition, in the middle of the summer is where we have vacations. There's Canada Day, there's Independence Day here in the United States, and there's just summer vacations. So that's going to impact what we do, as well as some work thing for both of us. What's up with work travel with us lately? That's just insane.
I know, but yeah, so we've got that coming, but for now, we are still on Tuesdays until we say otherwise, and that will be towards the end of June, early July. That's exactly when it will be, and we'll make sure to let you know, or you'll just see that it comes out on a Sunday. But it will just be your bonus, and we'll announce it then. But we also had Deami Paloki say, "Hey, I thought you might enjoy my luxury recording setup," which, by the way, you can definitely find at geeks.link/luxury. You can find that there. That is absolutely amazing. SP, describe it for the audio listeners.
But he's got his handmade, well, his wooden made, his self-made microphone stand with his ATR 2100 and the shock mount mounted on top of that. He's got his H5 laid out on the some sort of wood plank bench. I think it's actually a wood pile there. Actually it is on top of a bench. So there you go. Anyway, it's in the middle of a wood shop. Totally jealous of that. My response back to that was, wow, look, no sawdust getting in the electronic components. To which he replied, indeed, this is how I keep the sawdust away. And it was one of the huge dust vacuums that you see in wood shops. And I was looking for the Binford Tools logo on it, and we didn't find it. So we're still wondering where the Binford Tool logo is. And for those of you that don't get that, go watch Home Improvement with Tim Allen.
So I believe that this can only mean that we have to do a podcast while woodworking just to actually match Deami's awesomeness, don't you think?
I can make that happen, sir. I'm not sure you can, but I can definitely make that happen.
Oh, I can make that happen. Not very well.
Okay. I can make it happen better than you can. So there you go. There's something that SP can do better than Steven. Finally, we got this great iTunes review, and we didn't see it because it was in the Canadian iTunes store and not the American iTunes store. And I don't switch back and forth all that time. And Steven dropped the ball. So sorry. But Chris M0444 on April 1st left this review. Informative. 5 stars. These guys know their stuff. I'm 3 episodes in and feel like I've learned a lot. Great podcast.
Thanks so much for that. I apologize. I've talked about this more on other shows, but I am actually a pretty dedicated Android user, so I don't use iTunes terribly much. So I did draw. I will admit it. I dropped the ball on that. You should send your hate mail to Steven at betterpodcasting.com or send it to podcast at betterpodcasting.com. That way SP can print it out, enlarge it, and mail it to me, because he will.
I have done that before.
But that is taking us to the end of the show. If you want to get in touch with us, let us know what's on your mind, answer any of our questions, please do so through any of the ways that we mentioned, including you can tweet us at betterpod. You can find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. Or just send us a video or something like that, because we will play your video on the show. But that is taking us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll just remind you that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network are some amazing shows, including some new people. We've got Operation Pugcast, as well as The Strangio Show.
Yeah, great podcast. Go check them out. I was really intrigued when I listened to them, so we're grateful to have them on the network, and I can't wait to listen to them. Or, by the way, Steven, I was recently on another podcast.
Were you? Were you betraying me?
Yeah, I'm always betraying you. And in this particular case, it's a podcast called Undaunted, and it's run by the Ritual Misery guys that I was on a couple of weeks ago. Again, without you, leave town, and I not do only do one podcast, I do two podcasts without you. So go check that out. The Undaunted series, by the way, is a great series. If you're interested in this show, you really should check that out, because it is just other podcasters, a lot of hobby podcasters that have turned into business podcasters or just hobby podcasters. And it's just a real conversation with them. So it's no actual learning or anything. It's just, well, what went right? What went wrong? What was your journey? And it's just a simple conversation between Amos and yourself. So go check that out at Undaunted Podcast, which you can find at ritualmisery.com.
Awesome. Well, that is indeed the end of episode 83 of Better Podcasting. I'm Steven John Drew. How about we go get some Tim Hortons, eh?
And I'm SP, saying I'm looking for those donut holes, and I'm looking for a new co-host. So we'll see you guys next week.
They're called Timbits.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.